You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com.
Adam Oates joins us, former NHL head coach, assistant coach, now a skills coach for numerous NHL players. Oatesy, welcome back to the show. And we are down to a best of three, an element that you were very good at, that you coached at, the power play of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oatesy, what is lacking right now?
Good question. The big answer for me is reads, right? Like, we've talked about this a lot. Guys have to make reads. And I don't feel right now they are. Nashville's doing a good job trying to kind of counter what Pittsburgh wants to do. I just don't think they're in sync right now. And obviously not a good time to not be running on all cylinders.
Yeah, they do look a little bit out of sync. One thing about the power plays, though, see, I want to get your thought on this. I thought San Jose did an interesting thing in the first series against the Oilers. It's very stylish now to bring, have the D-men bring it up, and then have two guys way back, and you drop it back to one of those two guys, and they come with speed. Everyone's flat-footed, and you get the zone. But, what I thought San Jose did was interesting is, especially Marlowe's, he'd actually get behind that D-man. So it was almost like there was three guys defending at the blue line. Then Marlowe would get himself on the other side of that D-man coming up, so that back pass wasn't there. Do you think that's something that would work more often and throw the rhythm off of what the offense is trying to do getting to the zone?
Yeah. And you know what? That's actually why I'm not a big fan of that breakout. Because now you're asking a defenseman to lug the mail, and then he has to turn around and drop it to two guys. Well, if they don't succeed, now that defenseman's flat-footed, sure, he has to go all the way back again. And before you know it, half the power play or three-quarter of the power play is over, and we haven't even got it inside the blue line. I liked what San Jose did, and I think, the more teams do this, the more the other teams are going to figure out ways to try and disrupt it. And that's what you're really trying to do. You said it. You're trying to wreck the rhythm, right? And that's where I feel Pittsburgh is. I feel like they're out of rhythm.
Because when I look at that power play, if I was a penalty killer, I'd be happy to have I'd sacrifice that one guy, because basically one person in theory is almost taking out two forward or two offensive players, and now you've got a D-man, like you say, coming up who's looking over his shoulder, checking things around, and two forward. So it's really a 3-on-3 rush, and I'd take those all day over top of some of the breakouts I've seen. So I think that's something that coaches, I thought Sharks did a good job. I'd be wondering why more guys aren't using that, because I think especially the first couple times they'd be like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, it's definitely something that you would do in the season versus playoffs, but
okay.
Yeah, very good point. One of the things, Jason, with Pitt's power play is, Kessel's on the one side, the righty, so that puts kind of all the lefties on the other side, Crosby, Malkin. And neither one of those guys is really a net front guy. But they're obviously both going to be on the ice. So it's never been optimal. Sid's kind of been on the goal line, hanging out, tipping, rebounds, getting another touch and tiring teams out. But it's not been necessarily a stock power play where you'd have a guy kind of more net front. It's because it's Sidney Crosby. He's not going to go get a shot and rip it off his ankle or his wrist or something, right? So I think you're seeing a series where, they're not getting anything out of their PP.
Adam Oates joins us. Adam, when you watch a guy like Jake Guentzel, kind of comes out of nowhere really and has been very prolific goal scorer, clearly has the hockey sense to play with skilled guys, but what are some of the small things you've picked out in his game that you like that's allowed him to be so productive thus far in the postseason?
Well, one thing about goal scorers, no matter what level they've played, they know how to be around the net in the right spots. And it's obviously, like I used to always say this about Brett Hull. Like, Brett Hull is a really, really smart guy. People don't give him enough credit for his smarts, because a lot of his goals, he's kind of just standing somewhere. Well, yeah, you have to stand somewhere to get open, right? Like, you have to as a player, you have to understand where the rebounds are going to go, where the passes are going to go, when to get there, what time to get there. And, this kid has shown a lot of good qualities when it comes to that.
I love your comment about Brett Hull, because it's true. I mean, he wouldn't do anything all game, and then all of a sudden he'd get lost in the offensive zone, and boom, goal. And you're like, what just happened? He slept for 59 minutes and 59 seconds, and yet he gets a game-winning goal. And he would drive, like, as a defenseman, guys are like, this is crazy. He literally doesn't do anything until that one time he gets open. And guys like him, he only needs one chance. Unfortunately for Guentzel, he had what I thought last night was like four legit chances, Oatsy, you know?
Yeah.
Is there a time where, you know, I mean, I don't know the young thing. I mean, you score goals, but you're clutching. You're like, oh, my God, I should have that one. Now you're grabbing a little harder. Does that kind of happen in games?
Yeah, though I don't think that was last night. I mean, the kid had an unbelievable playoff, so he's going on all cylinders.
Sure.
That was just, you know, goals. When they get chances like that, nobody puts them all in, right? Nobody. And last night was not a good night to not score. It's funny you're talking about Hulley because Gretz and I flew on a plane a couple months ago after that outdoor game. And we were talking about him, and Gretz played with Brett too, and he's the one that said another great skill that Brett had was, you know, whether it was Wayne or myself, we're skating up the ice. Brett knew how fast we were as players. So he knew to time his skating with our skating because it's going to take guys a certain amount of time to get in the zone and pull up, right? So he had to time his skating based on that, and that's part of what we're talking about is, as a player, you know, do you understand what's happening on that other play? You know, it's a simple thing like, if I'm going to pass you a puck, I got to pass it at the right pace. If I pass it wrong, we just missed an opportunity. So there's a certain rhythm to the two guys, right? And that's what I see in this kid. He understands when to dart into a hole, when to be there. And it's, you know, he's had a fantastic playoff.
Adam Oates joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer. Adam, we're basically 2 weeks away from the expansion draft. They're going to announce it 2 weeks tomorrow, but the 20th is when they got to submit all their teams and everything. You've been around, you know, you did a lot of scouting, you played in the league. If you're a Vegas, what would be your top priorities at the expansion draft?
Really good question. You know, obviously you're trying to build a winner. What I don't know is, as an expansion team, can you try and build a winner from day one?
Yeah.
Or do you need to get some seasoning as a team, as an organization, get some players, some picks, and then you can start building your foundation? Like, you know, the Boston Bruins, when they traded for Chara, became a different team, right? And he was already played in the league for 7 years, but then they got that one guy that they built around. You know, ideally, you want that defenseman. You do. You want that guy who can play 30 minutes, be physical, get some points, run your offense. You know, the all-purpose defenseman, right? And then, you know, you need a goalie. You can't win in this league without a goalie. It's really hard. And you want to get a good goalie and then build accordingly.
Yeah, it's interesting.
First pick overall, it's going to be a forward.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. It's funny, you know. You look at the approach, and I've gone through the process. You know, you pick out who you think might want, and you know, at the end of the day, the thing I keep coming back to is I want as many assets or young players as I can get. You know, kind of what the Maple Leafs did a little bit, because, you know, I agree. I think winning might be hard quickly, but if you do it, you know, and build up stack from the back end out, you might have something in 3-4 years. But I guess, can you do that in that market? I mean, Vegas is a brand new market. We don't know how it's going to react to a team that maybe doesn't have playoff success.
Why I wonder if you need a little bit of time first. Like, you look what Toronto just did. They got Austin Matthews. Yeah, but Lou Wen got a goalie, right? And signed him for 7 years.
Okay, yep.
You know, because he had Brodeur, so he really built the Devils around Marty Brodeur. Even though Scott Stevens and Rod Niedermeyer have a ton to do with it, but Lou believed in goaltending. You know, he kind of came from the Montreal Ken Dryden era, right? You guys got Connor McDavid. So, you know, arguably best player in the world, but we've talked all year long what a difference your defense and goaltending made to your team this year. You still have the best player, but you had to improve those other areas before you guys could win games, right?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, I think building from the front back to me makes very little sense because I'm a little bit biased, so but I think you got to have, you know, that foundation, which is your goalie and your tenders, and obviously you need a couple centers. I really feel like the last thing I'd be looking for is wingers, because I think you can find those through trades or through a free agency if needed. And is that kind of too cavalier an attitude?
No, I mean, I think you're going to take the best player available right now because you're starting out. But I do think that if you look at Chris Pronger, everywhere he went, their team went to the finals, pretty much, right? Like he ran the show. When you can get that marquee D, that I think that's a wish list for every team. You know, you want that guy because it's 30 minutes. It's 30 minutes defending the goal. It's hard to score a goal. It's hard to penetrate and score a goal. So if you can get that guy that prevents it, that's a huge plus if he's a stud. And, you know, in goaltending, and that's why I think, you know, almost every sport, defense beats offense, right? And, you know, it's, I would say if that guy's available, you take him.
Well, it'd be interesting how teams, and I've said this, I will always take the proven NHL player over draft picks. I think obviously the top picks are worth a lot in the NHL. And if a draft pick, if you trust your staff and more importantly, your development staff, that you're going to make the right picks, then sure, there's value in it. But just the amount of few spots that are made, and when you look at it over, you know, a 20-year span, 15, 18% of second-rounders make it, and then it drops down even less than that. You know, George McPhee at the Combine said, you know what, we thought we were going to get this. Now, all of a sudden, we're hearing from teams they're willing to pay a lot, i.e. high draft picks, just to keep their guys. Do you think it's possible Vegas could walk away with potentially maybe three first rounders from the next few drafts because of this?
Yeah, no question. No question. We are in a salary cap era. This is a very different thing. The cap might not go up as much as people were hoping. Some teams are in a pinch. Some teams like their guys and they don't want to upset the apple cart. So they'd rather give George a first rounder than lose that player that fits into their cap space in their lineup, for sure.
You know, just turning back to last night, the game, the Pittsburgh against Nashville. And watching that game, I see a situation where, especially in the third period, three across the line. You got two D-men and a forward for Nashville, three across the line. And, you know, I thought Penguins were doing a decent job taking it wide. But, you know, when you take the puck wide, there's always not a lot of stuff to go on there. You know, maybe carry around the net, but that's not always that dangerous either. But, oh, so you're coaching that team. What do you say? You know, we got to get more to mill the ice, but there's three people just clogging that right up and mobile, agile defensemen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? The real answer is don't get behind. Right? sometimes the solution on a given night, like seriously, sometimes the solution on a given night, the game is totally different than the last game, right? And that's why you work on all the subplots, right? You try and work on everything, you know, because there's going to be a night where you get behind and you're climbing uphill. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen tonight. So you don't want to do that. Like, you don't want to lose in their barn, right? You don't want to get behind in their barn.
Sure.
You know, two nights from now, it's going to be a totally different game. And every little thing matters, and all the subplots of the game show up at some point. But you're right. Like, what are you going to do? You know, they got five guys out there too, right?
Momentum hasn't been much of a factor at all in this year's playoffs. We've seen teams get crushed, come back and win. Nashville seemingly has it, but to me, that evaporated the minute the game ended. Pittsburgh still has home ice. Otsi, what do you think the Penguins need to do if they're going to win two of the next three?
Well, you know what? I think we'd all pretty much admit that Nashville's pretty much ran the show so far. Game one, Pittsburgh stole, because it could be 3-1 Nashville easily. I think they got to try and find a way to slow Nashville down. Easier said than done. And I think that requires more offensive zone time for Pittsburgh. You know, it's not, you can't have so many one and dones. I'd have to look at the tape thoroughly to find out, but honestly, I think you got to try and find a way to slow Nashville down, which is going to be very hard to do, I think.
Otsi, as always, great to catch up with you, man. Well, I guess technically next Tuesday we could be talking about Game 7. It's going to be the longest week ever for two games. Or we'll be focusing mainly on the expansion draft. And we'll talk a little skill development, some of the new things you got for some of your NHL guys. We'll do that next Tuesday.
You got it.
Adam Oates, Hockey Hall of Fame.